Something that I am learning as a young dad, as a father, is that my children, they are not little adults. I cannot stand there and expect them to know things that I know, or expect them to be able to do things that I do, or do them the way I do them. They are just little people. They've got a lot of things to learn. And you know what's interesting is that God doesn't give us as parents little adults. He gives us little children. Allows us as parents to grow into our role as parents. But it also allows our children to learn life lessons. To learn from real life circumstances and situations. Back in the Hebrew culture, it was very popular for a father, especially kings, as they would pass on the kingdom to their son. They would have wise words of wisdom to share with their son, to encourage them and prepare them to rule a kingdom. And many times these things were called proverbs. And what I would like to do for the next several weeks is do a study of the book of Proverbs with you tonight. We've closed our study in Nehemiah, and we're going to jump now into the book of Proverbs. So if you want to turn there, I think this will be an interesting study for us, because the book of Proverbs, as you will find out, is packed full of wisdom statements for all of us to apply to our lives. I talked about my little children and how they are immature, how they do not understand all aspects of life and everything that goes on. And you and I, we need to understand that we don't understand everything about life and everything that happens and how to deal with situations. And we need God's wisdom. The book of Proverbs is inspired by God, powerfully packed together into little statements, words of wisdom. Many of them from a king to his son. Before we get too far into it, I just want to give you just a brief introduction about this book. The book of Proverbs is a compilation of many different people's writings, many different statements. It is typically known as the book of, that Solomon has wrote, but we know that there are several passages and sections that have been written by others. It is typically known to be the book of Solomon because the majority of the statements in Proverbs, we believe, come from Solomon. Solomon, of course, being the wisest king that ever ruled. And he asked God, remember that? He asked God for wisdom when he had that opportunity. What would you like? What do you desire? And Solomon asks God for wisdom. And remember, God blessed him abundantly. And we read here in the book of Proverbs, we can benefit from that wisdom, as we can read from Solomon and several others. There's a couple other authors that are in here. There's Agur, chapter 30, and verse 1. You see his name mentioned. There is Lemuel, chapter 31. His name is mentioned. We have Proverbs 31 woman. We don't know who wrote this passage. Anonymous. There are passages that are referred to wise men who wrote them. Who are these wise men? Well, we do not know. But the book of Proverbs was compiled by an editor, and we don't even know who that was. Somebody that took all of these wise sayings and packed them together into what we know today as the book of Proverbs. And this was something that was done probably around the time of Solomon or soon thereafter. In ancient literature, the book of Proverbs is very similar to many statements that Egyptian kings would write to their sons. And so what we see here is God taking a lot of the wisdom that was in the world, and people's, just because people don't know God doesn't mean that they have some good that they don't have good ideas. And what we see here is God taking a lot of those good ideas that people had, and they become his inspired word. And he puts them into writing here in the book of Proverbs. As we look at the book of Proverbs, I'm going to choose to look at it in a way of ideas, of topics, because it is a challenging book to go through verse by verse, because a lot of them are just separate statements. If we did that, we would be here for several years. Now, would it be beneficial? Absolutely. But we don't want to get too bogged down, and I don't want to lose you and bore you to death. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at topically some of the topics that come to the surface as you read through this book. How many of you have ever read the book of Proverbs? Good. I expected most of you to say yes. Many of you, I bet, have done the whole reading program where you read one proverb a month, a day in the month, and then you keep doing it, right? You've done that before? That's a popular way to do it. And as we go through our study, I believe that God will really challenge us in some very practical ways. Because as you know, most of you have read this book, there is a lot in here. The whole spectrum of our world is dealt with in this book. Like I said before, this book is very practical. It's down to earth. It's where the rubber meets the road. You take these short wisdom sayings, and you can directly apply them to your life. This book of Proverbs begins with an introduction. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look tonight at verses 1 through 7. And what you have here is you have the title of the book in verse 1. You have the introduction of the book in verses 2 through 6. And you have what's considered to be the motto or the theme of the book in verse 7. Let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 1, 1 through 7. It says this, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, of justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety. I had trouble reading that whole word. Subtlety. Thank you. All right. We got it. Thank you. To give that word to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now this introduction here is important for us to grasp as we walk out and begin this study. Because what you see here is many of the reasons, the purpose for the book of Proverbs. You know, I started out talking about my young children. They are in need of wisdom. And you and I, in the very same way, we are in need of God's wisdom. And I believe this for that very reason, it is why God has included that in his word, the book of Proverbs. What is a proverb? Well, a proverb is basically a short saying. A short, wise saying. And what the Proverbs typically would do was would be typically include a short statement that had something to, an idea to put forth, a way of life to promote, to give advice to the listener. And so as you see here, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, that title of the book is included there by the person who edited this and put it all together. And it's called the Book of Solomon because most of Proverbs is Solomon's writings. Most of them, we can say that. You see here, he's the son of David, the king of Israel. So we can imagine that most of his writings were written to probably his sons. His son that was going to take the throne after him. And he wanted to pass on the many things that God had shared with him to his son. And isn't it fascinating that God chose Solomon? Solomon to write these Proverbs. I mean, I love the way God works because God, in his infinite plan, chose the wisest man in the world to put these into writing. And you and I, like I said before, we can benefit here. Listening in as Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, sitting there and talking with his son and sharing these things with his son. As you go down through this introduction, I want you to recognize and see the purposes of Proverbs. The purpose of it. Why do we need it? You see here, it says to know wisdom and instruction. Amen. To know wisdom and instruction. As you will see throughout the book of Proverbs, there is many, many comparisons and parallels. You know, if you are a literature genius or somebody that likes literature, this book is really interesting. It's got several different ways to say the same thing. But it does that to help us as the listener to get it. You know, the book of Proverbs is written in a very beautiful form. And it uses all kinds of different parallelisms. And I just want to go over some of them so that we get an idea. Turn to chapter 18, verse 7. We're going to jump around a little bit, but I think this will be beneficial to you to get a grasp on how to understand some of these things. Chapter 18, verse 7. What you're going to see here, that a Proverbs can express the same idea in both lines, but it does it in a slightly different way both times. Look at chapter 18, verse 7. It says, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." This is a little literature lesson here, but I think you'll find it interesting here. Is what you see, this proverb says the same thing, or just about the same thing, in both lines. It just says it in a little different way. Now, you know, when somebody tells us something once, we sometimes get it. When somebody tells us something the first time and then they repeat it the second time, we usually have a better chance of getting it or remembering it. And, you know, the more times you repeat it, the different ways you say it. I mean, me as a preacher, how many different ways can I say the same thing? You know, you may, on a Sundays, I don't know if you recognize, but sometimes I say the same thing. I just come at it from this way. I come at it from this way. All these different aspects. You know, and this is a tool that God is using to get our attention, to get our minds that are dull, to understand God's wisdom, to wake up to his truths. And here you see that a fool's mouth is his destruction. Okay, well, his lips are the snare of his soul. It's basically the same idea said in two different ways. Maybe you understand the first way better, and maybe you understand the second way better. But that's the beauty of God's way of communicating here. And this is the typical way of literature of those times. Look at chapter 12, verse 5. Chapter 12, verse 5, And what you're going to see here is that you have a contrast. And this is typical in Proverbs. I'm sure you'll recognize this. It says the thoughts, this is chapter 12, verse 5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Now, the beauty of this here is when we contrast things, we understand them better. Isn't that right? When we say, this is the way something is, and it's not like this. Well, what we have just done is we have explained the same thing twice, just two different ways. And you'll see a lot of this idea of contrast in the book of Proverbs. Turn over to chapter 10, verse 26. Now, I'm sharing all of this with you because I believe you have a hunger to learn some of this stuff. And I hope this is not just, you know, you're just like throwing this out. But I think this will help us as we learn these truths and study the book of Proverbs. But chapter 10, verse 26, look at that verse. It says, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. What do you see there? You see figurative illustrations used to define the sluggard. I tell you what, illustrations help me so much. They help so much to understand these truths. And you're going to see a lot of these kinds of things in the book of Proverbs, where God uses an illustration such as vinegar in the teeth and smoke in the eyes. We know what that's like, right? You're out there grilling and you get smoke in your eyes. You know what that's like. You hate it. It bugs you. You got to run away from it. Well, that is like the sluggard to them that send him. Get it away. Get him away. All right, let's look at chapter 16, verse 4. 16, verse 4. It says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Well, what you see here is you have the second line explaining or even amplifying the first line, further explaining what was said there in the first line. So this is just yet another tool that is used to communicate. And finally, chapter 15, one page over, verse 31. You're going to see here the second line completing the first line. It says, chapter 15, verse 31, the ear that hears the reproof of life abideth among the wise. And what you have here is the second line. It completes the idea of the first. So these are all different ways of that Proverbs will communicate to us. And I trust that as you go through the book that you'll begin to recognize, oh, that's a contrast. Or that's amplifying what was said in the first part. Or he's basically saying the same thing there. He's just using a different words. And I trust maybe that'll be exciting to you. I trust maybe it'll be helpful to you as you try to understand some of these truths. So back to Proverbs chapter 1. I'm done with my literature lesson, so you can breathe a sigh of relief. Proverbs chapter 1, remember this is the purpose of Proverbs. It's to know wisdom and instruction. Or you could say this, to know wisdom and to know instruction. This is not just intellectual knowing, but it's also experientially knowing it. You know it in your mind and you know it by the way you live. And what is wisdom? You're going to see wisdom throughout this book spoken of many, many times. Simply put, wisdom is skillful living. Living with purpose and skill. How many of us need that for life? I got to tell you, we talk about our little children needing wisdom. You and I need wisdom. You and I need to be able to live this life with purpose and skill. And what I want us to identify is that the truths that you're going to find in the book of Proverbs are not only going to just help us to live spiritually stronger and to please God, but it's going to help us in our everyday life, relating to whoever we're relating to do certain things. It's going to help us with every practical aspect of life. The book of Proverbs is not just, you know, does not only deal with our spiritual relationship with God, but it also deals with our horizontal relationships with other people. God understands that we need His wisdom, His understanding to help us live with purpose and skill on this earth. You know, God shares these things with us because He desires to use us to show forth His testimony, His name on this earth. The book of Proverbs is a book that God desires you to apply every single day. And every time we're going to look in this, you're going to be able to walk away and say, you know what? I understand that. I can do that. That makes sense to me. Yeah, that's right. I saw that the other day. You know what? That's true. I never thought about it that way. You'll be amazed at the incredible depth that you will find in the book of Proverbs. So you have to know wisdom and to know instruction, to know discipline, to know how to live with discipline. Man, we need that too, don't we? To live with discipline. To perceive, to discern the words of understanding. To be able to understand the words of understanding. That's what's interesting about Hebrew. Those two words there, to perceive the words of understanding. You have the similar Hebrew words used twice. One's a verb, one's a noun. To understand the words of understanding. And what that means is that the purpose of this book, of these many different sayings, is to help you and to me and me to understand wise sayings, wisdom that is put forth to us. Verse 3, it says to receive the instruction of wisdom. Justice and judgment and equity. When you look at this, you could say it this way. You could say to receive the instruction of wisdom, to receive the instruction of justice, to receive the instruction of judgment, and to receive the instruction of equity. Well, when we talk about these many different ideas and different words, we could look at it this way, and you have again this word instruction, this word discipline, and to receive is the idea to acquire or to get, to lay hold of. So the book of Proverbs, the purpose of it, of all of these sayings, is that we get it, that we acquire these words of understanding, that we acquire the discipline of wisdom and of right living and of good judgment and of good, fair living. You see, this is so, so down to earth, practical level, bottom shelf. We need these truths. We need these truths to help us every single day of our lives. The book of Proverbs not only is to know wisdom, but it's also so that we might be able to acquire it and get it, to understand it. And we come to verse 4 to give subtlety. Subtlety? Is that right? Okay. I should have practiced that word more. Subtlety. All right. To give subtlety to the simple. Really, what that word means here is really to give the ability to be able to foresee evil and prepare for it. It's that skill of being able to see what's evil and be able to be prepared for that evil. And who is this for? Well, this is for the naive, the gullible. And what's the rest of the verse say? It says, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. So here what you have is you have this idea of the simple, and you have also the idea of the young man. And this idea of being simple, it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be a negative term, although it is used as negative term in the scriptures. But many of us are naive on many different areas and subjects. We don't know. We're gullible. We're very open-minded to certain things. And the wisdom of God wants to be able to prepare us to help us to understand these things so that we will not be taken in and sucked in by useless evil. That's wisdom. That's what God desires, is really to sharpen us, to fine-tune us, so that as we walk through life, we're not just giving in to every little wind of doctrine or new way of life, but we have a sharp vision of what is right. This idea of being a young man, in the Hebrew, this is a child, an immature young person. And it says here, what's it say? It says, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. This is really where it comes in. As you and I walk through life, we can relate to a little child. As a little child, I think of Ian and I think of Grace and the many different things that I need to teach them about life. How do they deal as they play with their friends? If a friend says a certain thing, what are they to do about that? Or how are they to deal with that? All of these little things, they don't know. They have never come across these things. They need knowledge and discretion. They need teaching of what is right and wrong. And they need the discernment to be able to tell what is right and what is wrong. You and I need the same thing. Like I said before, many areas of life, we are naive and gullible. We need the book of Proverbs to be able to understand what is right and wrong. To have the discerning mind to foresee these things so that we aren't just sucked into useless wastes of time. A wise man, what will he do? He will hear. And will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Really, what you have in this verse is a good description of someone that is wise. A wise man will listen, and he will always be increasing in his teaching and his doctrines and what in the things that he is learning. In other words, this wise person doesn't ever reach the pinnacle of all wisdom. But a wise person understands he needs to be ever learning. And what else? A man of understanding, he shall attain unto wise counsels. What's that mean? It means he's going to listen to wise counsel. And we're going to see that throughout Proverbs, that a wise man listens to counselors. How many of us love to do things on our own, or we hate to ask for help? We hate to ask for advice or seek others for help. You see, the book of Proverbs is going to guide us through that process of we need to seek wise counsel. We should not be afraid of that. We're not lone rangers out here. We need one another. But the key thing is there is what? Wise counsel. Counsel that will help us to live with purpose and with skill. And remember, the book of Proverbs is going to help us to do that. You look, come down here to verse 6. You have the purpose of Proverbs of a wise man attaining to wise counsel. That is so he can understand a proverb and its interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Just a little side note, what you see here is a literary style where they're saying the same thing two different ways. So that the wise man, so that he might understand a proverb and the interpretation of it, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Dark sayings is not something, you know, spooky. It's something that is hard to understand. And the book of Proverbs challenges us to seek wise counsel, to learn and attain and understand these proverbs so that we can come to grips with what God is really trying to say here. And so we come to verse 7 where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And what we're going to do next time we get together is we are going to look at this idea of the fear of the Lord in the book of Proverbs. This phrase appears several times throughout the book. And it is a powerful phrase that I believe is very crucial that the authors wanted us to understand about the fear of the Lord and how that practically in our lives will help us to live with wisdom. Well, what is the fear of the Lord? Let's remember, the fear of the Lord is not this idea of I'm afraid of God, but I'm in awe of Him. There is an aspect of fear in that because He is so great that I cannot look at Him. But yet we are drawn to Him because of His greatness. The awe of God. And what's it say? The fear of the Lord is what? It's the beginning of knowledge. So this is placed at the beginning of the book of Proverbs for a reason. We've got to get this. We have got to get this idea of the fear of the Lord so that we can then begin to increase in knowledge. Begin to understand God's wisdom. If we forget the fear of the Lord, these things will be cloudy. That we will not understand them and be able to discern them the way God desires us to do that, to understand them. That's why it says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. The beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowledge. And what's it say here? It says, but fools. We have a contrast here. So this will help us understand. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here's what it comes down to tonight. This final verse speaks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the thing that you and I need to come to grips with is on which side of that verse are we? Are we fearing the Lord, or are we despising His wisdom and instruction? You know, there's people out there, they don't care about this stuff. There's people that they don't want to hear what God has to say. The Bible calls those folks fools. God can do that. Because He is their Creator. He is the God of all wisdom and all power. And He has laid out for us on the table His wisdom. And people that choose to disregard it, to despise it, to not listen to it, it is foolish. A fool is somebody that has an opportunity to do what's right but chooses to not do it. To live in rebellion. You know, I'm sure that you have had times raising, if those of you have had families, or if all of us have been children at times, can you think of a time when you were foolish, when your children were foolish, when you knew there was something that you needed to do or not do, but you went ahead and did it anyway? How many of you remember what happened? In those times, in those situations, many times you ended up, what, getting hurt? Getting yelled at? Made fun of? Whatever. Let's remember this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We've got to get this point, church. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. I'm going over this so you can, like, memorize this. When you go out, you know this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, of knowledge. I'm confusing you. Beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. There may be times in your life when you get fed up with the Bible, when you get fed up with God. Maybe you, there's a, I mean, we all know of people that have walked away from the Lord. They are despising God's wisdom. They're despising His instruction. And the Scriptures say that that is foolishness. And we will learn as we study through this book, we're going to study the fool and look at him and how God describes them. And the purpose of these studies is not that we can be like them, but that we can recognize that kind of life and say, I'm not going there. Or I need to turn around. I need to repent and turn around and live in wisdom. Popular words in the book of Proverbs is wisdom and foolishness. The book of Proverbs desires to communicate simple yet profound truths that enable you and me to live this life on earth with purpose and skill. If that's your heart's desire, you will gain much from our study. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 7 ends with wisdom and instruction. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. This is like a sandwich. We start with the purpose of Proverbs is so that you know wisdom and instruction. And you end with a fool as somebody that despises wisdom and instruction. Same ideas, same words. It's just one time it's used, this is to do, to gain wisdom, and then the other time it's used to describe a fool. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, of justice, of judgment, and equity, to give subtlety. Okay, good. Subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the introduction to the book of Proverbs. Inspired by God to open up these pages, to give the reader, to give you and I a purpose to look at them, a reason to understand them, so that we may live with skill and purpose on this earth. Do you believe God cares about how you live on this earth? He does. Do you believe that God cares about the way that you work? He does. Do you believe that God cares about the way you use your tongue? He does. All of these things are real life things, earthly things. These are not profound spiritual truths that deal with big words like redemption and justification. No, it's about how I use my tongue. How do I be a good friend? How do I work hard? What happens if I'm lazy? Wow. Real life stuff, isn't it? Real life stuff. And I want to tell you something. You know, we have fancy magazines and journals and doctors out there that tell us wise sayings. But let me tell you something. They are not God. We can trust these words. We can believe them to be true. And we can believe that they are the way to live with purpose and skill on this earth. So let's look to the scriptures for our way of life, for wisdom. Let's not despise it, church, for that is the way of a fool.